What was that experience like for you? Did you regret, or was this a valuable effort in terms of support of the peace effort?
The value for me mainly was in my action and the actions of those who were supporting me or doing their own actions. And I wanted to distinguish between who did what. You know, we declined to cooperate. And then what the government did was prosecute us and imprison a lot of us. So, you know, I can't say what they did was helpful. It's we tried to respond well. People stuck together. They kept track of each other, attended each other's trials if they could, or visited in prisons, depending on where we were imprisoned. So our actions, we just tried to keep expressing the kind of communitarian spirit that was behind our peacemaking attitude anyway, and our anti-war attitude. But it was helpful. This is something illustrated for me, again, what I had learned in observing and participating in a indirect way, but observing the sit-in movements and movement for voter registration in Mississippi, which I interviewed many participants in for some radio programs, as a matter of fact, that I made back in 1964 and 65. So I got to meet quite a lot of the people and hear many, many stories. And I observed for myself, as a most direct participant in my war refusal, the effects and the challenges that come along with direct personal non-cooperation. How was it for me, though? It was a long time, but also there were a lot of incidents that continued to illustrate the importance of personal action and of group support. There were occasional activities in the prisons too that some of them got me in moderate amounts of trouble with the authorities there, but mostly I was a kind of quiet prisoner. It certainly gave me a look up close with that part of the injustices in society. Certainly before, as a history student, as an activist, a civil rights participant and supporter, I knew plenty about the inequalities. But to see them day by day, to learn some of the different sentences that, for example, that people got for activities that just seemed to be a very strange way of, for example, somebody who participated in an $8 million swindle, I think he had a 2-year sentence. And somebody who'd been participant in a $4 million swindle, he had a 4-year sentence. And then somebody who actually I had known on the streets, who had done a $6,000 unarmed robbery of a national bank, he wound up with a 13-year sentence. Need I say, he was an African American. So when you see this and you see the effect on people's lives, it's just phenomenal. I also observed a lot of heroin use as a prisoner, which sounds odd to people. But that was another series of stories in one of the prisons particularly. And I say prisons plural because due to various events, I was transferred around a good deal, and I was actually, for periods short or long, in half of the federal prisons that existed at the time. I maintain now an interest in this, in imprisonment and criminal justice system. You know, and maybe it'd be good for your audience to know that there are about 9 times as many prisoners now in the United States at almost all levels, between federal, state, local, between 7 and 9 times as many prisoners now as there were in, let's say, 1970, somewhere during my term of imprisonment. There aren't 9 times as many people in the country, only about double, I think. And this is something I really want people to think about and look into. When people ask me about my time of imprisonment, I always kind of drift over to what's going on now, because that's what I'd like people to focus on and to become interested in.